Wow, it's Friday of the fifth anniversary week of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie already. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Georgiani and you. And if you've been listening at all this week, you know that our producer, Michael Birchfield, put a neat little survey together for the few weeks leading up to our fifth anniversary week. The anniversary actually was on Monday. But we like a big celebration. You know, Debbie has a whole month to celebrate her birthday, so we thought we'd have at least a week to celebrate the program. And if you took part in that survey, the top five shows that you said you wanted to revisit are the ones we have been doing this week. And Debbie, drum roll please, the number one runaway winner was today's topic.
Guardian Angels. Yep, we're tackling Guardian Angels together in this very quick hour we have with one another. And this is going to be a tough challenge, but we're going to take it on because we could spend years talking about the angels. But we're gonna do our very best, Jerry. And if we can we begin in prayer? May I?
Sure, please.
Okay.
Do.
So let's pray to Saint Michael the Archangel. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And do you say this, dear listeners, this personal prayer each and every day? Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen.
Amen.
We sure hope you say that prayer, hopefully maybe twice a day, and you're teaching that to your children. It is not just a cute little prayer with little nice figurines and cherubs, with wings floating around as we think of angels. Because remember, everybody loves angels. It crosses all the faiths, okay? It is truly a very powerful personal prayer, and we're going to dive into why that is, Jerry.
We are going to do that, and in the meantime, we welcome your phone calls. How is your relationship with your guardian angel? Do you have one? Maybe you didn't even know you have a special angel assigned to you. We're going to talk about that. But if you are one of those who, as Debbie said, well, how do you put it, Debbie? You unleash the ministry of your guardian angel?
The ministry powers. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're one of those who calls upon your guardian angel and sends your angel out to do various spiritual things according to God's will, then please call up if you'd like to share that with us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and hopefully if you want to share your personal guardian angel story, if you can keep it rather short, because we're going to try to weave in a lot of catechesis on guardian angels specifically. You know, I know that there's general questions about angels and there's also questions about demons, but we're going to be focusing on guardian angels. And Jerry, as we always do, you and I have two special places in Scripture that we absolutely love. And if we could touch upon Psalm 91 and Matthew 18:10, I think it would really kind of set the table for the discussion on guardian angels.
Yeah, we encourage you to read the entire chapters of these passages that I'm going to read right here, but we'll just be pulling out a couple of verses. But again, it's Psalm 91. Please, if you can, print that out. Look for a holy card. Debbie, there are holy cards with Psalm 91 on it, I have to believe, right?
Very true. And they're beautiful, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Psalm 91 is a very beautiful psalm, verses 11 and 12, talking about the Lord. He will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then we turn to Matthew 18:10, and this is so beautiful and comforting and reassuring to me. Matthew 18:10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven.
Beautiful. I love it. I know, isn't it? It's and powerful. And God doesn't lie. This is a truth. And it's a truth of our faith. Angels, the teaching on angels is a truth of our faith. Very important. So let's get into this right away. But please call in if you have a personal guardian angel story to share at 833-288-3986. 3986. Let's go back real quickly to Psalm 91. It's a much longer psalm. It's security under God's protection. And you you read from those verses, Jerry, about the guardian angels to guard us and to guide us, and they will support us. They not only can help us avoid accidents, physical accidents that we could encounter, but they are there to strengthen our will, to illuminate our minds and strengthen our will so that we do the right thing. We avoid sin and we stay in the will of God. Because when we are in the will of God, that is when, Jerry, the unleashing of the full ministry efforts of the guardian angels, which are very powerful because remember, they are in the beatific vision of God. They are beholding the face of God at the same time, ministering to us. Okay? That is pretty incredible. So what does that tell you? That tells you this is very, very powerful and is part of God's plan and design for us to have these incredible spiritual beings at our side to help us get to heaven, to be there rooting for us. There are soul guards, there are bodyguards, and it's very strong, folks, and it's something that is needed, I think, now more than ever for so many of us feeling very alone in this world, okay? To develop a relationship with our guardian angels, I think would be the very best thing right now that we could do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, calls are starting to come in. And Debbie, as Debbie mentioned, we're going to try and weave in a lot of what you really asked for, a show like this. You wanted to learn about the guardian angels, their role in our lives, our relationship with them. So throughout the show, it'll be kind of a catechetical show, but it wouldn't be the type of show we want it to be without hearing some beautiful, beautiful accounts of how your guardian angels have helped you. We get emails about this. We hear stories all the time. I've got an absolutely amazing guardian angel story to share if there is time on the program today. Debbie, you probably got 1,000 of them as well. So feel free to take up one of those open phone lines. Just a couple are left right now at 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986.
And if you're hesitant to call in because you want to listen to the catechesis, a portion of Guardian Angels, it's okay because you'll get to listen live. Ryan puts you on hold and you get to listen to the show. So please call in at 833-288-3986. Learn today about Guardian Angels and share today about your Guardian Angel here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders from Called to Communion, congratulating Jerry and Debbie on the 5th anniversary of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks a lot, guys. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Dr. David Anders. That is high praise coming from you. You and Tom Price do such an outstanding job on Called to Communion. It is the 5th anniversary. It was on Monday, but we thought we wanted to celebrate with you, the Take Two family, all week, and we're talking about guardian angels and our relationship with them today. And we'll get to your phone calls, and Debbie's got a lot more to share as well. But first, I want to mention the Catholic Cafe. It's on Saturday afternoon tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The blogger at Just a Guy in the Pew, John Edwards, is going to join the program. When we make assumptions, we're usually wrong, he says, so we then injure our relationships with others, ourselves, and God. So again, John Edwards of Just a Guy in the Pew joins us for an important conversation tomorrow on the Catholic Cafe at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on most of these same EWTN stations.
Okay, and also I just wanted to share that at the beginning of the week, anniversary week, we shared about Brad and Marianne are part of our Take Two family. Brad sent in a happy anniversary message with his beautiful voice. He was singing it, and so Michael Birchfield helped us put it up on EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page, and it's also on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. So check it out. It's so beautiful, and Brad's got a great voice, so thank you, Brad, so very much for that. Also, Cheryl and Susan, please hang on. Please hang on because we just want to discuss a little bit more about the existence of angels being a truth of faith. And what Jerry, do you want to maybe share a little bit about all the paragraphs that are dedicated solely to learning about the angels in the catechism?
Paragraphs 328 through 336. And believe it or not, I don't have my copy of the Catechism in front of me to quote those.
I got it right here.
Oh, good.
This is why we're a great team.
Yeah, right. Our radio sacrament is showing.
Yeah. And you're right, Jerry. 328 to 336. Okay. A lot of very wise words about the angels and how important the angels are in our spiritual life. And so I just wanted to share real quickly about... Saint Augustine, doctor of the church, very, 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 very wise, of course, as we all know. Saint Augustine said this, and I just want to be clear about this. You know, we use the term angel. Angel is the name of their office, not their nature. Okay. So if you're looking for their nature is spirit. If you're looking for their office, it is angel. So think of it like this way. Think of it like this. Who they are is a spirit. What they do is an angel. And an angel is a messenger of God. An angel does the ministry work, helps to do the ministry work of God. And they're always, like I said, beholding the face of the Father in heaven. And so it's an incredible piece of the plan. Because the angels have been around, for all of salvation, and they were there at the time of creation. Okay, and so when you think about it, to dive into the understanding of angels is vitally important to help us along that path to be back united with God. Okay. And that should be all our goals, right? That should be our goal, is to get back to God, get back to being united with God. And the angels are gifted in so many ways with strength and intelligence and will and everything they do that was given to them by God, and God appointed them to us. And we each have our own guardian angel, very unique. Okay. My guardian angel will never be another person's guardian angel. They're not recycled. Okay. They were all created, and my guardian angel was handpicked for me. Jerry's was, yours was. And isn't that beautiful? So think about this, folks. This is huge. This is showing how God loves us so very much to have these wonderful spiritual creatures around us with great intelligence and will to help us get to heaven. I wanted to share that, Jerry, because I think sometimes we use the term angel and we really should remember the spirit part of them.
Very good, very good. Well, we have some text coming in. You can text the letters EWTN to 55000. That might be a small data rate depending on your phone cell plan. Our good friend Ron in Los Angeles says, "To my guardian angel, let me not assume or presume, but resume the will of God today. God be with you," from Ron. Thanks, Ron.
Beautiful. That's amazing, Ron. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, Jerry, should we move on to our first guardian angel story? Okay.
Absolutely, sure.
So let's go to Cheryl, and Cheryl's been waiting so patiently in Louisiana, listening on Christ Our King Radio. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome.
Good morning. Congratulations on your fifth year anniversary.
Thank you so much.
My story is I inadvertently drove my car into this huge hole, and I couldn't get out, and nobody would help me. It's like they didn't even see me, and I would ask people, 30, can you help me? And I turned around, and there was a man in a wrecker truck parked right behind me, and he said, "I can get you out of there." And he pulled me right out, and I said, "Oh, I'm so grateful. Let me give you a tip." And when I leaned into the car to get my wallet, and I looked up, he was gone. And he wasn't on the parking lot. He wasn't on the highway. He was nowhere. No one I spoke to after had seen him, and there was no way for me to contact his company to thank him. He was wearing a red jumpsuit, and he drove a red truck, and there's no other explanation to me than that was an angel helping me. And my car was in perfect condition. My tire was not damaged. I drove to work, and everything was absolutely perfect, and I thank God for that.
Wow, Cheryl, that is amazing. And we do hear stories like, in fact, the guardian angel story that I have to share is somewhat similar. It involved being in a car, as so many guardian angel stories do. People talk about they're driving along at, you know, freeway speed or whatever. They want to change lanes, and they just get this sense to pause for just a second. All of a sudden, phew, you know, a car goes whizzing by them there. But I think this is one of the ways the guardian angels manifest themselves. Debbie, you can probably explain that more. But talk about that, Debbie, for a minute. What do they have the ability to do, like manifest themselves sort of in a physical appearance?
It's actually kind of the best way to describe it, Jerry and Cheryl, is to think of it as a kind of borrowing a costume, if you will. They don't have physical bodies. Okay. So it's like, kind of pretend like it's there, they put on a costume. So they come into that place and step in and do the work they need to do, and then they leave that costume behind. So it doesn't surprise me that you that person that you saw, Cheryl, was gone. It doesn't surprise me that you know, it just kind of disappeared. No one could find them. Those stories are we've heard those stories so many times that people will actually say, but I got the name of a person and we tracked it down, and that person doesn't exist. Well, of course, that person does not exist, because the angel jumped into that costume, if you will, did their part, and then they step out of it. Now, I don't want to overread into signs, Cheryl, but I find it very interesting that I believe you said this person had a red jumpsuit on and drove a red truck. And that would lead me to believe that maybe, possibly, the sign of that red could be the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I say that is because so many people have a difficult time understanding how to place guardian angels into their spiritual life, because they don't want to take God out of the focus. Well, what we need to remember is that everything comes from the Holy Spirit. It channels right through from the Holy Spirit. So it is not, you're not in any way, shape, or form, you know, making an angel be your God. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. So I find that very interesting that it was red. Did you pick up on that too, Jerry?
I did. Yeah. Not quite as quickly as you did, though. As you started to explain it, I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Cheryl, thank you so much. I hope you continue your great relationship with your guardian angel. And the other thing, too, I wanted to just share, that guardian angels continuously, we don't see it. We just don't. When we get to heaven, God willing, when we see all the work they've done, they're all working overtime on our behalf. Because when you just look how a freeway operates, isn't it amazing how it all just kind of moves, and there's not major accidents all over the place and people swerving off the road? The angels are constantly keeping things, you know, in rhythm and working well and working in unison. They're constantly doing that. Now, why do angels sometimes step in and help others, like your angel did, Cheryl? I believe that in your personal gift of your guardian angel, because that is what was instructed to them from God. You know, they receive all of their information directly from God. They know exactly how to minister to Cheryl. Okay, and they know that. And so and it's important that we do our part. So our part is to recognize them, to stay in a good place with God, and to stay in a state of grace, because the more we do that, the more of the graces flow from their ministry right into our life. It's pretty amazing. That's why it took me 13 years to study this, and I'm trying to do my best, but there's no way I can cover it. That's why we're probably going to be doing a virtual conference coming up shortly and going in depth on this. But thank you, Cheryl. I hope I explained that okay, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl, so much in Lafayette, Louisiana. We appreciate that. And we appreciate the affiliates that carry the program. Several of our affiliate managers wanted to weigh in on the fifth anniversary of the program, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So let's let our producer, Michael, play one of those for you right now.
Anniversaries are always a cause for celebration, whether it be our marriages, our careers, or our favorite Catholic radio program. This is Jim Wright, president of the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. On behalf of everyone at our network, I want to say happy anniversary to Take Two, a program we've been airing since its inception 5 years ago. Congratulations to host Jerry and Debbie and the entire Take Two team for making it a great success. Guided by the grace and wisdom of Jerry and Debbie, our listeners appreciate the ability to discuss, through a Catholic lens, an endless array of topics that affect their daily lives. Congratulations again on reaching this milestone, and with the help of God's grace, may there be many more to come. God bless you both.
Wow. That is going to make me cry. I absolutely, I know Jerry shares this same feeling. I love Jim and Joanne Wright. They are incredible, the founders and managers of the Station of the Cross. And Zach, the general manager, and the whole team at the Station of the Cross. That was really, really sweet. Way to make me cry. You can't make me cry at the beginning of the Guardian Angel show, though.
All right, you want to take go to our next call then?
Sure, sure. Okay. Where are we going?
Oh, we've got a couple Susans on the line. One got in a little bit before the other one. Susan in Duluth, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 130. You are next on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. How are you, Susan?
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Happy anniversary. Five years,
so
and I love your radio show.
Thank you. You're kind.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that this just happened a few weeks ago. I'll never forget the date or the time with what my guardian angel did. And it was May 22nd, a Friday night, about 10:30. I was putting my dog out to the backyard one last time before we went upstairs to go to bed, right? Mm-hmm. There was no sign of any thunder, lightning, no rain, nothing when I opened up the door. So I bend down to pick up her leash and put it on her collar. And while I was bent down, I see this flash of light. And I'm like, oh, shoot, is it starting to thunder and lightning? As I stood up, a lightning bolt went charging right to me, right to my heart. And it stopped just prior to to hitting me. And then this huge crack of thunder was right over my head. And I grabbed my dog, put us back in the house. I sat in my rocker for a minute, and I just to compose myself, and I said, my guardian angel just saved my life because I should have just been struck dead with that lightning bolt. I have never, ever been so close to lightning in all my life. And I'll just always remember the shining, bright strike just before it hit me, just stopped dead.
And my wow.
And I... is my guardian angel, and I'll thank. And I say that guardian angel prayer every morning that you shared, Debbie, before the show, or
good.
During the beginning of the show. I say it every morning.
Okay, so, that is what an incredible story, and the way you can remember the date and the time. I mean, so this has really been something that impacted you greatly. But see, it's interesting. You said you say the guardian angel prayer. That is, it's so important because that is actually giving them the respect and the acknowledgement that they have a ministry work to do that was given to them by God the Father himself. Okay, now the angels were created for Jesus and through Jesus, okay? But they behold the face of God. They are given the information, the all the knowledge they need from God, and they are able to transmit that in their ministry work to you, Susan. And how beautiful is that, that you recognize their worth and their value and what they mean in your life to get to heaven. I pray that the graces and their activity continue, your guardian angel's activity continues to be around you, because that's incredible. And I wish for everybody they could understand how powerful their guardian angel is. I mean, it sounds like your guardian angel literally stopped. And they do have that because they do have ministry powers over all of the earth, you know, the stars and the moon and everything. And so God has gifted them with that. Susan, wow. Way to go. What a story. What do you think, Jerry?
What a great story indeed. And thank you, Susan, for the call. I love the way you weave that in, Debbie. We, you know, bring God into this, because this is not about the angels. Like you said, it's about God leading us closer to God and being in his will and living a holy life. So thank you, Susan. We got Mary, another Susan, and Judge, and the others straight ahead on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
This is Monsignor Charles Pope with Morning Glory, wishing a happy fifth anniversary to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Well, thank you, Monsignor. We appreciate that. And we are hearing from others as well. I want to mention quickly, we heard from Steph and all the gang at The Quest in Atlanta. We at AM 1160, The Quest, are truly blessed to air your show and share your wisdom and love with all of the Metro community. And she says that's from C, A, S, and thousands more with a heart. So thank you, everybody at The Quest in Atlanta. And before we go back to the calls, Debbie, if you don't mind, I would like to, I'll try and keep it real brief, my guardian angel story from behind the wheel many years ago.
Absolutely. Please share.
I can't remember where I was living, but I had this really ugly yellow Ford Pinto, for those who are old enough to remember what the Ford Pinto looked like. And my brother, who was in the Navy, visited, and he had an MG Sprite, I think it was called, the right-hand drive, you know, the steering wheel's on the right hand of the car. And I thought, Joe, this is so cool. I've got to drive this thing. So we were on the freeway, and we swapped vehicles, and he was way up ahead of me in my car. And what he didn't tell me is, if you didn't keep the steering wheel pushed down tightly, if it came up just about a quarter of an inch, it would spin and not catch and not steer the car. So I'm just sitting there driving along, and all of a sudden, I feel this, and I'm you could almost spin the steering wheel like, you know, Wheel of Fortune. You know, and it wouldn't do anything. And I thought, I am dead. It was going 70 miles an hour. I thought, I am going to die. And I was, thankfully, I was in the far right lane, and the car, Debbie, by itself, started to slow down and just literally pulled me off to the side of the road. Wow. Very gently. I came to a stop. Like, if I had actually, it was right in between the white line and the shoulder part. It was amazing. And I just thought to myself, I wasn't even really that deep into my faith at the time, but I knew something special had happened.
Okay, so not deep in your faith, but did the thought come into your mind about a guardian angel, or no?
I would say probably not at that time, but it sure does now.
Okay, but see, that's okay. This is a really good example. What an incredible story. But Jerry, this is a good example. See, a lot of people think, well, what if I'm not, you know, recognizing my guardian angel, or even not saying this for you, Jerry, but they even ask the question, well, what if I'm in a state of sin? Does my guardian angel go away from me? The answer is no. Your guardian angel has a mission work to do with you. Okay. And so, for whatever reason, God had instructed Jerry's guardian angel to make sure he safely came out of that situation. Okay, because that was not for Jerry to learn a lesson or to go through it for some reason. So God, you know, God did not want that. Now, God does allow things to happen for our own good so we can learn from it and grow from it. It doesn't mean we're being like punished, like some people get special favor from their guardian angel, some people don't. That's not how it works. Remember, the ultimate goal is to be united with God in heaven. Your angel wants to be side by side with you, no longer guarding and guiding you when you get to heaven. They want to be by your side as more of a friend, as you both share in the beatific vision. So that's the end goal. So that's pretty incredible, Jerry, that you had that experience.
Yeah, I can't even remember how my brother, he was probably a quarter mile ahead of me or so, and he must have eventually looked in the rearview mirror and didn't see me anywhere, and I'm not sure what happened, if he backed up along the side of the road or if I finally figured out how to steer that car again. But yeah, that was it's one of those where you know, the lady who just called, who was almost struck by lightning, you just stop and you sit down for a minute and you go, whew, you know, that was really close.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we want to talk more about what guardian angels are and what they are not. And some people have certain expectations of guardian angels, and it's just not the way we know that to be true. I think the best thing for folks to do is, like Jerry shared, is go into Scripture. We cited some passages. There's angel passages throughout Scripture. But also look at the Catechism, those paragraphs 328 to 336. And also, really, maybe if you wanted to get into some of the writings like the Summa Theologica, who's you know, the best, you know, has the most teaching, the most incredible detailed teachings of angels is St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa. And I will share with you, that's where we derive most of our understanding of it. Although, like St. Augustine and many other church doctors and fathers of the church shaped the understanding and the teaching of the Catholic teaching of guardian angels and angels in general. So please, you know, dive deeply into that. And there's also some books we're going to recommend as well that can help you further your understanding of guardian angels. So, Jerry, should I be the bearer of bad news now before we go back to the calls? Because it's the only problem now in 2020 that we have with guardian angels. Should I share that?
Sure.
Well, because you and I both have a problem with it as well, because we were of the generation where it wasn't even, I understand Mother Angelica even talked about it a few times, I think, when she was on TV. So, okay. So just to share with you, when probably if you're about 30 years old up to, you know, 100 years old right now, you probably were taught, if you went to Catholic school or even if you went in religious education, we used to call it CCD back then, that you were probably taught about praying for a name for your guardian angel or to possibly actually name your guardian angel. And that was just an accepted kind of understanding. The intention is very good. There's nothing wrong with the intention. It's just because the idea was that you wanted to build a closer relationship with your guardian angel. Okay, similar to like how Padre Pio was buddies with his guardian angel completely, so much so that his guardian angel would transmit messages and help him translate things into languages that he never could even understand. So I mean that he had a very close relationship with his guardian angel. The intention was good to name your guardian angel. But I just wanted to share because the Catholic Church is very wise in putting out guidelines for us. And in 2001, in the Directory on Popular Piety and the Liturgy, and in one of the paragraphs, and you can read the paragraphs yourself, 213 to 217, but in the practice of 217 of assigning names for the holy angels, it says that it should be discouraged. And let me just share with you why. It doesn't say it's forbidden, okay? And a lot of theologians are now coming out and saying, okay, maybe we've gotten a little too, intense about this portion of it. It says to be discouraged. And the reason why is because we don't own the angels. And when you sign a name, when you assign a name to an angel, there's an element of possession there. There's an element of that you you're better than that angel. As I mean, if we really want to look at the understanding of angels, we're kind of their pet project. So we're really not, you know, they would have a better chance at naming us than we should be naming them. It's not really a good thing. And then there's other schools of thought on it that if you name your angel, you know, could it have been possibly the name be given to you as a trick from the devil? You know, there's people saying that. There's also some theologians saying, well, they've already been given their names by God because we know that the three angels, the archangels, were named by name in scripture. So why shouldn't we be renaming them? But I just wanted to say with that, okay, if you've had a name for your guardian angel your whole life, and you have a relationship with your guardian angel, I don't think at this point it's a complete deal breaker for you and you have to, you know, switch everything you've ever been doing. Although if you want to strictly go with the Directory of Popular Piety, which I would suggest you do, just switch it to My Holy Guardian Angel. Just saying My Guardian Angel. I know that Padre Pio had a name similar to that for his guardian angel. But just so you know, I grew up in the era, so did Jerry. I have a name for my guardian angel. I think, Jerry, you do as well. I heard Mother Angelica did. Yeah. You know, so did I hope I explained that okay?
Yeah, that was very good. And I've really kind of gotten away from addressing my guardian angel by name, but still it's I slip every now and then because I talk to my guardian angel all the time, especially when I need real immediate help. So it kind of comes out. But that was a good explanation, Deb. I appreciate that. The church, you know, has a firm approach to this, but one that's balanced and pastoral as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And people are starting to come out now saying, don't get too nervous about it. It's not, you know, not something to totally worry about. What we should be focused on is developing a relationship with our guardian angel. Okay. So that's the key. We're going back to the phones, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of calls here. Mary is in Winlock, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 130 and a first time caller. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. I grew up in your area of the country, out at Capellas Beach, and we used to play all those teams in sports like Raymond, Montesano, and El Waco, and Napa Vine. And so, yeah, great to have you with us.
Yeah, you know the challenge.
I do, yeah. Good to have you here.
Well, I wanted to share an experience that happened way back in the 70s. I used to do a lot of jogging, and I was jogging down the road, and my whole thing was don't ever slow down, keep running. And I turned to go across the road, and I thought I looked, but I guess I didn't. And something stopped me immediately, and a car whizzed by, almost ran over my toes. And if I would have taken one step more out onto that road, I would have been killed immediately. But a force just stopped me.
Okay, Mary, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it had to have been my guardian angel.
Yeah, but interesting how you use the word. You see how everybody is. It's everybody's in their stories, or and Jerry used it, and Cheryl as well. I mean, it's interesting how everybody's using the words that are describing guardian angels. You said a force, okay? So true. That force is a mighty warrior. That is your soul guard, your bodyguard. Okay, pretty cool. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And your guardian angel is never away from you. Okay? And even if you ask your guardian angel to go to somebody else and help them out, they still don't leave you, because remember, they have a perfect will. They have a highly defined intellect, and it's all done by thought. It's the best way I could describe it. It's intelligence way beyond like Albert Einstein, and it's like the speed of light. It's so incredible. That's why angels are depicted in art, in spiritual art, with wings, because of their swiftness. It's not that they're cute little, you know, angelic flying beings. No, they are mighty warriors. And if we could get a glimpse and see what they are doing on our behalf, and as a matter of fact, for every human being in the world right now, we would be amazed. They would be moving and it's incredible. They would be controlling so many things so that we can get through this thing called life. Pretty cool, huh, Mary?
Right. Yes, it was. Yes, I'll never, ever forget it.
Right. So. All right, beautiful, Mary. Thank you. Have a blessed weekend, and I hope that you are have loved ones to celebrate Father's Day with this weekend. So thanks again for the call. And we didn't even mention today is the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and I'm holding up my little Sacred Heart Holy card here.
Yes.
For those watching on YouTube and Facebook can see that.
And may I share something real quickly about that? Very interesting. About today is the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and also the Twin Hearts, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So I want to just share something, because you know who made the devotion to the Sacred Heart popular is Saint Margaret Mary Alico, right? Mm-hmm. And in the book, Joan Carol Cruz's book, Angels and Devils, she has a whole section about Saint Margaret Mary, and Saint Margaret Mary, a mystic of the church, was able to get a glimpse of and visited purgatory on a number of occasions. And what did St. Margaret Mary see? Well, St. Margaret Mary saw guardian angels consoling those in purgatory. Pretty interesting, huh, Jerry?
Yeah. Wow, all the great connections in our faith. I just love it, as you say, Debbie. Hey, we got one of our retreat attendants, Charles from Ohio, emailed. Charles is listening in that area, Ashtabula area, and he says, our guardian angels guiding and keeping us from harm likely isn't for anything great we are put here for, but perhaps for helping to save one soul or many by just being there and maybe giving a good example. He says, at the age of 9, I severed a renal artery in a sledding accident and didn't bleed out. Doctors said it was a real miracle. I lived. Why? See above. He says, I too often forget this blessing. Thanks for the subject of today's show. A good reminder.
It really is a good reminder. Thank you for sharing that. And that's why we're doing this show, because we want everyone to begin their incredible relationship with their personal guardian angel. Every angel is uniquely made. It's like snowflakes. No two are alike. And your angel is uniquely commissioned for you. Your angel is uniquely God's command to just for you. So Jerry's angel, that guardian angel, will never go on to another person. I can't stress it enough, because sometimes we feel, oh, there's so many angels out there because there's billions and billions of angels. And by the way, they've all been created. There's no more angels ever being created. I mean, God can do whatever he wants, obviously, but this is what we know from the teaching on angels. Okay.
All right, beautiful. We have our second Susan who joined us. This one is in Stockdale, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Also a first-time caller to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Susan. Happy Friday. Welcome.
How are you? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure enough.
I just want to say that I actually prayed for EWTN to come into existence before it ever was there.
Wow.
Because I'm 66. And all I had was Protestant people to listen to on the radio. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And when late EWTN came in, I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And it's such a wonderful thing to have, for to be able to spread the religion.
Good. Well, we owe our program and all the others in part to not only you, Susan, but I know many thousands, maybe millions of people were praying for Catholic radio to come into existence and spread across the country. So thanks for sharing that. What do you have about your guardian angel?
Okay, my guardian, of course, I taught religion for many, many years, and I've always taught my children that there are guardians. And so I actually have my granddaughter, who is now 7, and I've had her since she was 3 months old, on and off most of her life. And her mother passed away a couple of years ago, and I had her, and I was raising her. And then all of a sudden, my husband decided that he didn't want to raise her anymore, and that my son needed to raise her, so he just took her over to her house and left her there and said, this is your new mom and dad. And every time I would see her, she kept asking me, Nana, when are you going to come get me? And I prayed every day for her, and I told her to continue praying. She's got her guardian with her, just keep praying every day. And so, after about 3 months or so, I was able to work up and go back, you know, I picked her up from school since I have conservatorship over her. And I found out later on from my brother-in-law that at one of the reunions, she had told him that she was very distraught and very upset because she wanted to go home. But don't worry about it, because her guardian angel had told her that Nana was going to pick her up in 2 weeks. And my brother-in-law shared with me that it was 2 weeks from that time that I picked her up.
Wow. How old was your granddaughter when she was said her guardian angel told her?
This was just, I guess this was, she was 6.
She was 6. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stories. Just so that's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing. There are a lot of stories of young children, even toddlers, fixating on certain aspects of their nursery in their room in when they're in their cribs. And there's a lot of talk the children are highly sensitive to angelic activity. So there's a lot of talk of that, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And I mean, you look at Padre Pio and a lot of the saints, they developed their relationship with their guardian angels when they were young. As a matter of fact, Padre Pio, I believe, said to his mother at one point, doesn't everybody talk to Jesus and Mary and their angel? I mean, he just assumed it was a natural, right? And so that is an incredible. And I think you said your daughter passed, Susan. We're so sorry for that. Can we put her name in our prayer book?
Yes, her name is Amanda.
Amanda.
And we actually had to pull the plug. She was sick in the hospital. We had to pull the plug on her, but she actually passed away on Padre Pio's saint day. And so I prayed to him for years, and our church recently had the relics of the saints come through, and we went around and we touched all the relics and we prayed. And I even have the card, Padre Pio's card, that was blessed, and we actually touched it to the relic and everything. I mean, he is my guy. And of course, she is very, very a devout little girl. She prays and she sees, and we're right now, we're going through a lot of, I guess, satanic attack, because my husband and my son, where she is at right now, even though I'm fighting for her, they do not go to church, and they have rejected Christ, and they've told me that they would, if and when they ever do go to church, it would definitely not be the Catholic Church. And so her and I are in prayer all the time.
Good. Well, that, okay. My mind so often goes back to Scripture, Susan and Debbie, and you know how Jesus talks about how we must become like little children if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, yes.
So in a sense, that passage from Matthew 18:10 that we read at the start of the show, Debbie, it applies to all of us no matter what our age is, and it says, I'll read it again, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Well, who are these little ones? We're all called to be those little ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
So yeah, it's
absolutely.
So it doesn't surprise me when the youngest of children can have this kind of experience and this kind of relationship with their guardian angel that they wouldn't intellectually be able to explain or understand.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, and Susan, you were just sharing, I didn't know that you had this connection with Padre Pio. I have about 30 stories in front of me about saints and their guardian angels. What made me pick Padre Pio? Well, I love him as well, but I mean, I see, there's no accident to that. I believe that was a gentle sign from heaven to you that Padre Pio is really grateful for the fact that you care about him so much. I believe that. So thank you, Susan. Thank you for all you do. And we're going to be praying as well. You may want to say a novena for souls. There's different novenas you can say with the guardian angels, with the angels, for souls, to move hearts, to help souls, you know, soften their hearts and stuff, even for souls in purgatory. So you may want to consider doing that with your granddaughter, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Wow, this show has gone only too fast, and I wish we had several more hours to get to all of these calls. We'll get to as many as we can. Judge has been holding since early in the program in Abbeville, Louisiana, listening on Christ Our King Radio. And we're going to go next to Judge and get him on take two with Jerry and Debbie. Okay, can we get to Judge there? Is he going to be joining us? Oh, I don't know.
Skip. Maybe. Are we skipping Judge?
I don't know. Maybe we got a
glitch.
Yeah.
Well, they're super full.
I know.
Sorry, guys. We're having a bit of difficulty. If you could just hold on for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Michael, can I share a couple things, Jerry? Okay. Mm-hmm. We've posted some resources. There's books and different resources on take2show.com. take2show.com. So you'll see some angel books, some websites. So if you want to dive deeper into learning about the angels, I would suggest, you know, maybe looking up your favorite saint. And actually, you can even sometimes just put it in the internet search, you know, Padre Pio and his guardian angels. And you can start to understand how they related to their guardian angels. So it's really incredible. But I just wanted to share something. I have to make this announcement really quickly because I promised Gigi, our facilitator for Inspired by Faith Book Club, Jerry, in August, okay, so Jerry, you got to do the drum roll. You ready? In August, the book is going to be Joan Carol Cruz's Angels and Devils. That's right, Joan Carol Cruz's Angels and Devils. This is one of my favorite books. It's available at EWTNRC.com. Please pick up your book. Join Inspired by Faith Book Club. There's over 200 folks. Gigi is the facilitator. She does a fabulous job. And all you have to do is go to the Facebook page, or you can go to StandTallToday.com. StandTallToday.com and click on the book tab.
Okay, we are down to about a minute to go before we hear the closing music for the program. So, gosh, this is the part of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie that we don't like, and that is telling Grace and Liz and Deborah and Marianne and Phyllis and Elaine that we are just simply not going to have time. But please email us your guardian angel stories, take2@ewtn.com.
Absolutely. Please email us. But I just have to say something because I see the comment here from Liz talking about if you've never really experienced your guardian angel, but you do have your guardian angel with you. So think about this next time. Say that guardian angel prayer and then take note of different images you get in when you're praying in your head, or memories or intuitions or different feelings, because that's how they communicate through images and through and also experiences that we may have had, and you'll begin to realize you'll begin to realize that you have heavenly assistance. You have this incredible, powerful spiritual creature next to you all the days of your life. And believe me, they are gearing up for when you finally are finished with your purpose here on earth and you exit this earth. They are gearing up for the final fight, because remember, there's that final spiritual fight, okay? And they're going to be there for you. And so it's important that we establish the relationship now so that they have all of that incredible heavenly power with them to fight for your soul. What do you think, Jerry?
So that they know who you are when you call upon them.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Wow, man, this has been a fantastic fifth anniversary week of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks to the show team, Michael, Jeff, Ryan, Rich was part of it early. Michael McCall helps out. Tom Price, who am I missing? Tons of people. Affiliates, thank you. But Debbie, most of all, it's the Take Two family that's gotten us here. These first 5 years have been amazing.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys. We love you so very, very much. We're going to be doing an Angels and Demons conference coming up, hopefully the end of July or August. So stay tuned in for that. And have a beautiful and blessed weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the Take Two fathers. We'll talk to you real soon.